Blog Talk Radio.
From the UTE team, welcome to Universal Truth Evolution. Join your host, whistleblower Aaron McCollum, as he derails and retrains your mind concerning all topics current and controversial that mainstream media will not have. Here is your host, Aaron McCollum.
Evolution Show. I am your host, Sarah McCollum. We have what should be a really great show scheduled today. However, our guest today, I had sent him a confirmation email yesterday, as I always do, and haven't heard back from him, and he hasn't called into the show yet. Hopefully, though, he will call in soon. With a lot of the guests that we bring on, they have a lot of work that they do. Things can happen. Maybe who knows what has taken place. So we will just hope for the best. Our guest today, hopefully will give us a call, is Dale Pond. Dale Pond is a website I posted in the in the chat room, let's see if I can get it to post again, is www.svpvril.com, Sympathetic Vibratory Physics. It's a musical universe. While we're waiting, or hopefully Dale will call in, I'm just going to read a little bit about who Dale is. And so that you can have an understanding. And if for some reason we do not get a hold of Dale, then we will just discuss whatever in the show. We'll just kind of make it an open roundtable. Before I do that, one of my partner in crime, as always, Roger Silver, is on. Roger, you with us?
Yes, I am. Hello. Wow, Dale never got a hold of you, huh? That's a bummer.
Well, we actually conversed via email, and he was very excited. He had sent me his picture biography, obviously, as people saw from the show page.
Right.
But, you know, things happen. Let's just hope that he is safe and didn't get in any kind of accident or whatnot. But let me go ahead and just read this real quick, Roger, and then maybe we'll just chat up a little bit.
Sure.
And also, I did not get – I looked through my emails. I'm going to look through it one more time. When I had looked through the emails, yes, I'm just making sure I have confirmation. I did not get a phone number from Dale, so I do not have a number to call him. I probably should have done that, but, you know, these things happen. So just for the listeners out there, I highly encourage you still to check out his website and his work in case he doesn't call. Excuse me. Again, the website is www.svpvril.com. It's a Sympathetic Vibratory Physics. The website is also on this show page for today. And so let me just read a little bit about Dale here. Dale Pond is a Renaissance man with a diverse yet general background in chemistry, physics, mechanical engineering, machinists, metalworking, and tool making, computers, mathematics, acoustics, hydrodynamics, geometry, music, and common law, plus much, much more. Now, we have someone calling in. Let me see if that's Dale. One moment. Hello, caller. Welcome to Universal Truth Evolution. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, yeah. It's Steve. I'm sorry. Your guest is probably trying to get on. I'm on the chat site.
Yeah.
And I don't want to obviously waste your time on technical issues, but I cannot like type anything in. I've refreshed the page. I know you had problems last night.
Yeah.
But just to let you know that I'm having problems here.
Yeah, thanks for letting me know.
I don't know if you're being played with again or not. I don't know.
I don't know either because we had a lot of issues with the chat room and just Blog Talk. But then I spoke with a few other people that have shows on Blog Talk as well. They seem to be having some difficulties as well.
I can get into the room. I can see the scrolling, but I can't actually physically type anything in there.
Try Mozilla Firefox browser or Google Chrome, because Chris Honeyfield and Tamara, both UTE members, they both downloaded Google Chrome. They were able to get in. Aaron and I both use Firefox for browsers, and we can get in as well.
I've got Firefox too.
Oh.
Okay.
I mean, physically in the chat room, I can see the chat room scrolling.
Right.
But the box to actually type something, can't get into it for some reason.
All right, it says you're not allowed to type as a guest here. Tamara is saying in the chat room to the caller, okay, it says, okay, you see it. You need to download Google Chrome as BlogTop has upgraded their software. You need to register. You need to register or you won't be able to type.
Oh, so it's Google Chrome.
Yes. Try that.
Okay, thank you, Roger.
Sure.
Okay, cheers. I'll let you get on.
No worries. Thanks for calling.
Fill in a couple of minutes while you're here. Got your guest on.
Okay, well, yeah, hopefully we'll, our guest will...
I'll try that, and I'll let you know if it's successful.
Yeah,
all right.
You do that, we'll hang up, and then give me a call back if it's successful.
Mm-hmm.
No, I won't call back today, obviously, but I'll email you and say, that worked.
And remember, you need to register.
With Google Chrome, yes?
With Blog Talk. You need to register with Blog Talk.
Yeah, I'm already registered, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. I'm registered there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Well, hopefully that matter gets... You're welcome. Hopefully I get taken care of.
Have a great show. Have a great night. And have a great weekend.
You too.
You too.
Take care.
All right. Bye. Okay, so, Blog Talk, maybe they just did an upgrade. I mean, I'm using Mozilla Firefox and having no difficulties. But let me just get back to just explain who Dale Pond is. So I read the first part of his biography, and he's basically a modern Renaissance man, I mean, with everything he does. So let's just go back into it. His experience includes technical writing, farming, lecturing, corporate. We've got another caller. Let's see if maybe this is Dale. And it's not wanting to. Okay. Hello, caller. Welcome to Universal Truth Evolution. Who am I speaking with? Caller? Okay, maybe they're just listening in. Actually, I think they're just listening in. I forget that I have to wait for a little icon for the hand to come up, and that means they want to actually talk. So this may be a person that's just on Skype listening to the show. Okay, little craziness going on, but we will get through. All right, I promise I'm gonna get through reading this. So you know what? I'm just gonna go through. So he's got a big background. let's see here, maker of musical Dynasphere. And it goes on and on. At the leading edge of new paradigm thinking, he has been able to show that vibration oscillation is the principle underlying all things. Vibration oscillation is a link between spirit, activated mind, and matter, the magic key for creating new experiences, worlds, and universes. As an international renowned lecturer, Dale has presented workshops and seminars at the Swiss Association for Free Energy Conference. And let's see here. Oh, I just lost my place. Oh, and Vibration Conference, International Symposium on New Science, International Forum on New Energy, United States Psychotronics Association Conference, the Alchemy of Sound Conference, and the list goes on and on. So Dale has got quite a Dale's got quite a background, and as I said, please check out his website, which again I will post in the chat room, which is of course www.svpvril.com. You can also just look up, if you just Google or whatever search engine use, Dale Pond, D-A-L-E, and the last name P-O-N-D. It comes up pretty much towards the top, or you can even Google or whatever search engine use, sympathetic vibratory physics, and you'll see what work he does. So, Roger, unfortunately, Dale hasn't called yet. You know, I guess I should have asked him for a number for backup.
yeah, let this be a lesson.
Hey, you know, like I said, everyone out there, I'm not new to this. Thankfully, I have an amazing team that I work with that can, you know, knock me around in the head or so. And so this is just another lesson learned. You know, let me just say this real quick. I do have an announcement to make. I spoke with one of the upcoming guests this morning on Skype, and we will be getting him on, but unfortunately, due to some scheduling issues happening with him, we're going to have to cancel the show with this upcoming guest until future notice. Probably we're going to shoot for around January with this guest, and that guest is Joshua Shapiro. Joshua Shapiro is a very well known, at least in the world of crystal skulls. He researches and travels all over, doing work and written books about crystal skulls. He was scheduled for December 17th. We just talked this morning. There are some scheduling issues that he has, and so we're going to have to cancel that one until further notice. So the 17th of July, of December is open. Maybe I can squeeze in someone else for that day. We have someone calling. Let's see who this is. Hello, caller. Welcome to Universal Truth Evolution. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Aaron. This is Dale Pond.
Dale, hi. It's so
Dale.
I'm glad that you called.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to call me.
Oh, you know, I'm so sorry, Dale. I thought I had your phone number somewhere. I'm still getting my niche in with this show, so I do apologize for that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I should have gotten your phone number, and I was looking through my emails this morning to see if I had indeed had your phone number. For some reason, I couldn't find it. So I do apologize for that. But thank you so much for calling me so that we could get connected and have you as a guest on the show.
All right. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, I did read a brief bio, and I've already given the people your website for them to check out. So, with that, Dale, maybe you could just give another, in your own words, a little brief biography, a little brief background of what brought you into the work that you're doing currently with sympathetic vibratory physics.
Well, it started with my interest in trying to understand the world, mm-hmm. you know, that I found myself caught up in, and it became obvious many years ago that the commonality through everything that is vibration and oscillation.
Right.
So I started studying vibration and oscillation, and one day I ran into John Keeley's biography, and that was it. That was my path, and I've been following that ever since.
And it's such an amazing, I mean, it just your background. And I was reading this off to the listeners as far as everything from chemistry, metalworking, engineering, mathematics, quite the modern Renaissance man, you know, if you just read your background. It's amazing. And actually, before we go on, one of the Universal Truth Evolution team members who co-hosts the show with me a lot, Roger Silver's on the line, and I know he wanted to, he's going to actually co-host the show with me today because of his background, and I'm sure he's got a lot of questions. So let me introduce both of you. Roger, Dale. Dale, Roger.
Dale, how are you?
Hi, Roger.
Very nice
to meet
you, sir.
Roger.
Yeah, glad to meet you too, sir. And I'm also, in my off time, I like to study vibrational oscillation as well, and I am very aware that everything has its own vibrational level, including dormant matter.
Dormant matter, huh?
Well, I mean, not dormant matter, I'm sorry. In things such as tables, chairs, things of that sort.
Oh, yeah, just regular matter, yeah.
Right. Dormant. Yeah, I don't know why it's a dormant. Excuse me. I feel a little dormant right now, as a matter of fact.
So,
yeah, well, actually, there is no dead matter. There's only live matter, depending how we define dead and live, of course.
Mm-hmm.
My work has shown that all vibration is active. I mean, it wouldn't be vibration unless it was in motion, and everything's made of that motion, so that's the definition of life. And when it's coherent and harmonic, then it takes on a type of consciousness because it's all sympathetic one to another. And when something's aware of something else, that's called being conscious. So the universe is alive. There is no death. I mean, how would you define death in vibratory terms? Can't exist.
Understood.
I agree. Yeah, it makes sense because
unless
it's just the same as... Please continue. Sorry.
Unless we call it, the physical death, like... We're down here on a 3D world, and we're walking around, and we're cognizant of what's going on around us, and the general term of death means you're no longer on the third plane, but your consciousness still exists. It can't go anywhere. I mean, it can't disappear. Of course, it can go anywhere it wants, but it can't disappear from being. It will always be in being.
Well, that goes along with the studies. That goes along with the studies of, I believe it was the Russian scientists, and I don't remember exactly when this was, but they did a study of the difference of weight of a person before and after they died, and this was basically measuring, you could say, the weight of the soul. And Roger, I think you've mentioned before, and I don't remember exactly how many grams it was, but...
It was anywhere from 2 to 3 grams, if I remember correctly. Kilogram. I don't remember for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I haven't read about it. I've heard about that.
Mm-hmm. I think
I don't know how it could have weight. Hubbard did some experiments with that they could change the weight of a human body depending on how they were thinking.
Really?
Yes, there's an experiment like that. Light as a feather, too, is a board that people play around with sometimes. Have you ever heard of that or seen that, Dale?
Real quick, Roger.
Phone's breaking up here.
Yeah, I know. Roger, you're breaking up pretty much as much as you were yesterday on the show.
Not good.
I mean, as far as Dale and I, we hear you just kind of broken up.
Okay, well, I will try to log out and log back in, and I don't know what the deal is, but we'll try this one more time.
All right. We had some problems on the show yesterday, Dale, as far as people being able to log in and other matters. I don't know what's going on. It seems to be happening with other shows and Blog Talk, so we'll just try to get through this as best as possible. So, Dale, I'm looking on your website right now, the Pond Science Institute. I was wondering if you could maybe talk about that for a little bit.
I was fortunate into being able to acquire this particular property, and it's pretty much ideal for pursuing all the different branches and avenues that we need to pursue to fill out this paradigm. And as you can imagine, all those different fields that I work with are just a beginning, because when everything vibrates and you're studying the nature of vibration, well, it takes you into all these different fields because they're all interconnected through the vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
And this property allows us to have a machine shop and wood shop and libraries and study rooms and pretty much all the different kinds of spaces we need to pursue things and not get it all jumbled on top of each other.
Wow.
And pursuing this paradigm just as far and as fast and as hard as we can. It takes a lot of money, which we don't quite have yet, but one of these days.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's a shame that there's so many people out there doing such amazing work and being inhibited by, you know, needing money. I see it's such a shame, because it can limit in what we want to do, such as what you're doing.
Yeah, money's just a tool, you know,
yeah,
for doing what you want to do. And it's really ironic in today's world, you know, given the state of the human development, which it should be further along than it is, but there is basically unlimited money for controlling and killing people,
mm-hmm,
but there's hardly any money at all for developing a science like this. It's really
That's
strange.
True. It is quite strange. Well, I was looking now at the institute itself. There's a picture on the website, on the Pond Science Institute website, and where there's this, I guess we call it a machine, sphere-like, and there's people with their hands around it. What's exactly going on there?
These dinospheres, we didn't know it when we made them, but after we made them, well, I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
We built this thing thinking we were making a free energy machine, because that's what we read in the literature, that's what we thought we read in the literature, and so we went ahead and built it.
Uh-huh.
And in 96, I took it to an energy conference in Denver, first time out in the public.
Okay.
And I come back from lunch, and here's all these women. There was 8 or 10 women standing around this dinosaur with their hands, just like you see in the picture.
Right.
And I thought that was about the strangest thing I'd ever seen. And I asked them, what are you guys doing? And one of them said, we're standing here feeling the love come off this machine.
Wow.
And you could have knocked me over with a feather. In fact, you know how they talk, did your life flashes across your mind when you're dying or something?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of what happened to me at that moment, because she said that spontaneously, and she was very sincere about it, and all the other ones nodded in agreement. And
wow.
I said, wait a minute, to myself. I said, wow, these gals are feeling something, and she chose to call it love. She could have called it anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they all agreed with it, so they're all feeling it. But I wasn't feeling it. And that began a huge new direction for me to pursue. I had to confront this thing and say, okay, these people feel this. All right, let's put it in a center. I took it down to Tulsa, and we put it in a center. And for almost 2 years, we had people come in by open invitation to be around this thing and experience whatever it is they experience and let me hear about it, because I wanted to know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on. And we began to learn an amazing, it became a truly amazing time for me, because people would come in and they would feel this energy and they would call it love, they would call it smooth or like electricity or joy. And then we started seeing people being spontaneously healed. And that was another direction to pursue. You know, why were these people being healed? We never thought about these kinds of aspects concerning this machine when we built it. I mean, this is all serendipitous.
And, Dale,
you know,
what
over a period of time...
I just wondered real quickly, Dale, what kind of people were being healed? Like, what ailments did they have that you noticed that was healing them?
Almost anything you can think of.
Okay.
We even had doctors bring their patients in, and those people were being changed. There were psychological healings, physical healings, emotional healings, and even spiritual healings. I mean, it didn't seem to be any limit to what this could do.
Okay. So this was working on all levels.
Only if the people were willing to be healed. There's a lot of people don't want to be healed, you know.
Yes,
and,
that's true.
You know, they'll just get up and walk out. But if they're willing to let go of it, it's gone. And so these people in the photograph, this was in Westcliff, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
The energy that you feel is just amazing. And the women especially are very sensitive to it. It's just a remarkable experience. What it is a sense of pure love is what it is.
Wow. Now, as far as the Pond Science Institute, people want to go there. How would they go about? I mean, obviously, I posted the website and there's an address, but do people need to call first, or what steps do you need to people need to take if they want to go there themselves and maybe volunteer or experience or whatever?
Well, it's best you call, because I'm in and out and sometimes I'm on the road, and it's best to call. I've had people stop spontaneously without calling, and even though we have a huge doorbell in the front door, if the doors are all closed inside like they are in the wintertime, I can't hear that bell.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some people ring the bell after a while they left. So you need to call. That's what I'm saying. Just call and we'll set up a date and time.
Very good.
And,
what I find interesting, and this is something we've talked about on other shows, and something I've mentioned too, is that, and of course, I find it interesting that it seemed that the you said initially there was a circle of women around it that were feeling the love. In the research that you've done, have you found that women have been able to, I don't know, pick up more easily, feeling this, the frequency of the vibrations coming off of it?
Yeah, women are more psychic than men, generally speaking.
Yes, this is true.
You know, they got this intuition. And they have this familiarity with loving children. I don't know how else to say that. But they have this connection that they resonate with easier than men. It's not to say men don't have it, but women are more readily responsive to that. And so they were the first ones to pick up on it. And eventually I got to where I could feel it and deal with it quite well. And I could even show other people who couldn't feel it initially how they could feel it.
Wow.
And it's real. It's definitely real. I just wasn't clued into it, you know.
Right.
Okay,
well,
Dale,
you know,
Aaron, can you hear me?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Roger, go ahead and let's hear you speak for a second, see if you're...
Okay, please. Okay, yeah. And I have a quick question for Dale when he can get to it. Dale, how did this device come about? The plans. How did its construction come about?
John Keeley made the original machines in the 1880s, and through the literature, magazine articles, newspaper articles, there is a collection of photographs in the Library of Congress. Those are the best evidence we have.
Uh-huh.
And from those photographs, we got the idea of the machine, the idea that maybe we could make it. And I called a meeting of very special people to determine if it was possible to build one of these things, or if we, you know, if it were feasible.
Okay.
And one of the attendees was a world-class psychic, and during the three-day meeting out on a food ranch, she was able to bring in communication from John Keeley and Edison and a whole bunch of other people. And, yeah, it became quite obvious. Yeah, we could build this thing. And so over a period of 4 months, I would call her every day and ask about dimensions or materials or, you know, whatever we needed to know and how to make this thing, because we did not have blueprints.
Uh-huh.
We really didn't know what we were building. We just had a couple of photographs. And it evolved through that process. It was a day-by-day process. And quite amazing. It was probably the most amazing 4 months of my life.
Well,
doing that.
As you were building this, did you produce any experiments? Did you experiment as you moved along in its construction?
Dale, were you able to hear that, Dale?
Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's breaking up quite bad, but I got that.
Yeah, okay.
We did some experiments, but nothing really serious, because the intention was to do the construction.
Okay.
And experimental things, mm-hmm. where we were told to mix certain elements together to create certain materials we were to use. Mm-hmm. And in that mixing and fabricating, we had to do certain experimental work to get it to come out right. But other than that, we didn't do anything really experimental.
Now, I've had guests on the show that have spoken about such things as, you know, known as a cloud buster, you know, dealing with Oregon energy and other things like that. And of course, I'm sure that there are people listening now, and there's been a few mentions of it in the chat room, people wanting to build something like this. And I'm sure you've probably had that question too. You know, I want to build one. What do I do? So, and I always encourage people that if you're going to build or create something like this, it's important to go to, you know, take proper steps if you're going to do that. So, Dale, have you ever had that question? Someone come to you and say, hey, I want to build these. What do I do? And what do you usually tell them?
It's important that they have somebody who knows how to build things, like the thing they want to build. You need access to that expertise, because I didn't have it when I started this. And I had a guy who was looking over my shoulder. He taught me how to run the machinery, and he kept me from ripping my hands off and stuff like that. You need somebody around who knows what's going on. And you need to have determination and persistence, because a machine like this thing costs a lot of money.
It's quite intricate,
too. I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite intricate, and you have to keep your focus about yourself, what you're doing, and just stick with it, and it will come into being, believe me. Whatever you want, just stick with it.
Now, being someone that has a military background as I do, I know how the military works, and I understand that things are sometimes rediscovered and built or used for good intentions, like you're obviously doing. And then the military wants to come in and take control or twist it around and use it as some kind of weapon of some sorts. Have you, in your experience, ever had the military or any kind of big corporation approach you showing interest in the work that you're doing?
Yeah, not the military directly. I had a major university approach me, and they wanted me to come and work with them on their etheric science development. And we had a really nice conversation. And towards the end of the conversation, I remembered that, and I said, yeah, I'll work with you guys. Except I won't work on any kind of weaponry. And just like that, the conversation was over which told me that's what they were after in the first place.
Yep, sure sounds like it.
Because that's where they get their money, is from the military.
Absolutely.
And that whole military mindset, you know, that's such nonsense, such childishness. They're all in fear, and they're terrified of each other, or they want to go steal what the other guy's got, so they want to get a bigger gun or a bigger bomb or whatever the heck it is. And it's just nonsense.
It certainly is. Now, on the main website, the Sympathetic Vibratory Physics, well, actually, before we go into that, because I don't mean to jump around here. Sometimes I do this, and please bear with me. I don't think I asked this in the beginning of the show, and for anyone that's just tuning in, could you just give a brief explanation of what exactly sympathetic vibratory physics is?
Well, it's based in the concept that vibrations are sympathetic with each other when they are the same pitch. You can take two tuning forks that are tuned to the same pitch and strike one, and the other one will start to vibrate, even though it's at a distance.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you transpose that concept up to the quantum world, then every atom of gold, for instance, is in sympathetic resonance with every other atom of gold, regardless of where it is in the universe.
I see.
So if you keep following that logic up to higher and higher frequencies, we find out that every electron, every photon, which compose electrons, are in sympathetic communication with every other photon in the universe. And this sympathy that exists between particles or between objects is the connecting link that connects the universe. And sympathy is just another word for love. And if you start... if you continue to think that out deeply, it becomes obvious that this sympathetic connection between all things is what some people have been calling God. Because when one object is aware of every other object like itself, well, then there's this omni-awareness throughout the universe that's aware of everything else that's throughout the universe. So what would you call that? And so in Keeley's world, in the world of machinery and mechanics, we can build machines, or it's within our reach to build machines that are sympathetic to the human organism, like these people with their hands stuck up around the dinosphere. They're feeling this love energy because there's a sympathy between them and it. Or else they wouldn't feel it.
Wow.
And there's a lot of stories in old literature where Keeley would draw a symbol on the wall, and the machine sitting across the room would start up. He understood that sympathetic connection between mind and matter, and he made these machines that could do absolutely awesome things that we have yet to replicate today. And that's what I'm pursuing, and that's what sympathetic vibratory physics is. What is mind, what is matter, and what is the connection between them? And how do we get a handle on it?
This is absolutely fascinating. I'm curious, have you ever done any kind of experiments with the dinosphere in relation with water to see how water is affected by it?
Well, actually, no. Wow. That's such a simple question. No, I've never done that.
We have
placed objects around it, like coins or medallions or crystals or whatever. And people take those home, and it retains those vibrations. So there's no reason why we couldn't put water around it.
I'd be interested to see
how it
reacts.
Let me rephrase that question.
Please, go ahead.
We have taken the principle that is in the dinosphere, and we have applied it to treating water, not the dinosphere itself, but the functional principle in it. And we have built a mechanism that we create very powerful colloidal silver. So we got the silver in it, plus we have these love vibrations in it. So we even mark it. Yeah.
There is a doctor, Masaru Emoto. Dr. Emoto, are you familiar with his work?
Yes, I am.
And he's shown the reaction that water has with certain sounds and frequencies. And the evidence is absolutely amazing of what has come about, whether it's a positive frequency or negative, or even just saying the word love or hate and how you react with it. So I'm just curious to see what kind of reaction water, I don't know how I would go about it, maybe just putting a bowl of regular water next to it and seeing what would take place. I think that would be quite an interesting thing to see what the outcome would be.
Well, that's basically an experiment. And his experiment is really neat because they can make these beautiful photographs.
Yes.
There's another outfit, Princeton University,
mm-hmm.
spent 30 years doing intensive and very scientific research to demonstrate whether or not, or answer the question, whether or not mind had an effect over matter, which is the same thing Emoto did.
Mm-hmm.
And after 30 years of research, their final report was, yes, it does. Absolutely, without a shadow of any doubt, mind affects matter. So
sure
when we focus on water and bless it, or focus on our food when we bless it before we eat it, all that is real. It can't be denied anymore. But Princeton doesn't have pretty photographs like Emoto does, so they're not getting any press.
And maybe there's a reason why they're not doing that.
Well, it was funded by Douglas, the guy who owned Douglas Aircraft, and he died, and their funding pretty much dried up. But they're just a university environment. They didn't come up with this really neat way to show that mind affects matter. But Emoto did, so why do they need to repeat it?
Well, and this is true. It's just always good to see something like this from multiple sources. I feel that it helps to just get the word out to people. There's not enough, and that's one of the main reasons why I started this show, Dale, was to bring on people such as yourself, just to try to educate more people on the work and the experiences, everything that you're doing and others are doing. Because I just feel that's very essential. There's just not enough, too much of this. There's too much great technology out there that has been purposely suppressed or just isn't known enough. And I just feel that that's a shame. And so hopefully in time, things like what you're doing will become a lot more, I guess, mainstream, but not tainted, obviously, because that's the risk that takes when something like this gets more on the public. Things can get twisted around. And as you said, with the university that contacted you, it was very obvious that their intentions weren't exactly the same intentions that you share, that you have.
Yeah, it's a shame that the mainstream doesn't pick this up, but then the mainstream is not interested in this. The mainstream's interested in shutting down the planet.
Exactly.
And it's got anything to do with fear or shutting down creativity or shutting down production or shutting down intelligence or dumbing down the schools and the kids. They're all for that. I mean, they have plenty of money for that. But if you want to start raising people up, being all we can be, they don't want to hear it.
Now, on the homepage of the Sympathetic Vibratory Physics, you have pictures with names of several different types of dynaspheres. Is there a difference? Do they do different things, or is it basically different models that all have the same outcome?
Well, they're basically the same. The basic same design. We did change minor things as we went from one to the other, and they basically have the same energy, but each one of them has its own consciousness, and each one is slightly different in that consciousness, in that they're doing different things for the people who own them. And for instance, I'll Garcia is in Chicago area, uh-huh. and it belongs to a lady who has a medical clinic, and she reports absolutely stunning, even for me and all my experience, absolutely stunning experiences in her clinic. And the last one on the list, Aliyah, which is in California, that man is a very spiritual person. He's very active in many different spiritual endeavors, and he's basically flat out waking up.
Great.
By using it.
I always wonder what kind of effect, if one of these was built, a very large one, who knows what size, and if it was just put out somewhere in public, and of course not tampered with anything, what kind of effect it would have on a massive scale in a positive way?
Well, I can say something to that. When we had all those people coming around it in Tulsa, you know, we would have as many as 20, 30 people around it.
Uh-huh.
And many, many stories, many experiences came out of that. It's all individual based. Everybody's affected differently. And some people would tell us when they got to the house that they were feeling its energy two blocks away. And for the most part, though, people just walk by it. I mean, they're taken by its beauty, and it's real shiny metal. Everybody likes a ball, right?
Yeah.
They love that shape, and they love the feeling of it. We've had it in hotels, like at conferences. And mm-hmm. in the mornings, some of the women would come by and says, boy, it kept me up all night with this thing. So there is a very wide aura, which we don't know the extent of. And we also noticed that people were being affected by photographs from it. And I talked to a guy in Georgia, which was 2,000 miles away, and he says, yeah, we were noticing people being, their health was improving just by looking at the photograph. And so
wow.
I started putting up photographs on my website so the world can download them. If that's true, well, let's get all the pictures out there we can.
And, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because, excuse me, I was getting ready to mention that when you were done. So let me just sit real quick. On the main website, on the Sympathetic Vibratory Physics website, for those who are on it, I encourage everyone to be looking at this website while we have Dale with us today. It says about halfway down in bold print, have fun exploring the more than 15,000 pages of information and 4,000 additional graphics and miscellaneous documents on this website. Plenty, plenty of information for people to look through on it, which is great. Plus, there's a picture gallery and much, much more. And I encourage everyone to have a look at that. I think it's great that you provide all of that on the website, Dale.
Yeah, well, we want to wake the world up. We want the world to break out of these doldrums that they've been brainwashed into and say, hey, there's more out here. And it's fun and it's exciting and it's positive and it's constructive. And I just want to help the human consciousness express itself with art and music and machinery and whatever. And so I'm just pouring my soul into this. And there's a lot more pages than that up there now, but
uh-huh.
you can only read so many anyway. So
yeah.
But people can go in and poke around. And one of the things we've done over the past 2 years is build a wiki. Take this material and organize it into a wiki.
Great.
And at the top of that page, you can right in the middle, it says the SVP wiki. And
okay.
that's where we're organizing all this information, whether it's from Tessa or Keeley or Russell or Casey or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
We're organizing all this material in such a way that we can start to make sense of it. And there's too much of it for somebody just to drop into it cold turkey. And so this wiki is really helping to straighten some of that mess out, that anybody who's sincere can come in now and find what they're looking for and start relating, following the link, and start learning the concepts. And hopefully we'll have some younger people picking this thing up that to them it won't be so strange as it was for my generation, because we were all told it was all nonsense.
Well, and that's
not nonsense.
It's not nonsense, and that's another reason why I do this show. And soon, actually, on next Monday, the website for Universal Truth Evolution is going to be getting launched. And I didn't have a chance to ask you this before, but one of the things I'm wanting to do with all the guests we bring on is we're going to have a section on the website where we're going to have banners linking to websites of all the guests we have on. So I'll just say it on there. I'd very much like to have link up the Sympathetic Vibratory Physics website and the Pond Science Institute on there, because we are trying to target the younger generation with all this information. Because I feel obviously the younger generation is the future, and I just feel it's essential that they at least have an opportunity to look through this information, you know, and see what resonates with them, and hopefully move ahead with it.
Well, I think they are. An interesting experience happened to me several years back. I was visiting the American Precision Museum in Windsor, Vermont. And in that museum, it's a little tiny local museum, they've got a Keeley machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there looking at it for the first time, and it's quite an amazing piece of equipment. And as I was standing there, a busload of kids came up. Must have been a school outing. And one kid, they must have been between 10 and 12, he was roaming around there by himself, and he walked right up next to me, and he said something like, I don't know how the conversation started, but he said, one of these days I'm going to make a flying car. That, you could tell this was going to be his obsession. And I said, well, if you're going to learn about gravitation and levitation, you need to explore this man's work, the man who made this machine sitting right here. And I happened to have had the Dynasphere in the car at that time. And I said, I got some books that I wrote about this guy, and I'll give you some.
Wow.
So we went out, and we got the teacher, and we went out to the car, and I opened the box and showed him the Dynasphere, and I gave him a couple of books. You see, if I had been encouraged when I was that age, I would be light years ahead of where I am today. So any time that I can help somebody who expresses that kind of free thinking and independent individualism, I'm going to help them.
Fantastic.
Else, what are we here for?
I that's so great. I'm so glad that you do that, and I feel the same way. It's as you're doing with your wiki on there. I'm providing a huge cyber library. And a lot of it's been donated, and a lot of it I've been able to get of information covering many, many topics. It's all going to be free for people to download on the upcoming website, because this kind of information is so crucial for people to be aware of. I'm curious that I have a guest coming up here, I think next week, who is a Nikola Tesla researcher and has an electrical engineering background himself. And I don't remember if it states anywhere in the on your website, but could this device, the Dynasphere, also be used as a source of some kind of free energy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Keeley made these things, and we have magazine and newspaper articles from that time period that tell of him connecting these things to, like, sawmills. And
uh-huh.
They were building a big one, 4 foot in diameter, to put into a locomotive.
Wow.
We don't know what happened to the locomotive story. We didn't find all the reports on it, if there were any. But they did power a sawmill, and they did rotate, and they produced unlimited power on the shaft. And that's why we built it, because we thought we could reproduce that function and, have a different kind of power source. And it would be a very vastly different power source than anything we've got going on out there, which is what's taken so long, is to learn the science that Keeley was trying to tell us about, that he developed, His research papers and the books that he wrote, all of this, almost everything he ever created disappeared. And we've heard about the books. Uh-huh. I've heard of people having them. I've never seen one myself. So we've had to piece this thing together like a puzzle. And we're always making progress. And it seems like we get closer and closer every single day to make this happen. What makes the dinosaur rotate is the same force that makes planets to rotate and stars to rotate and atoms to rotate. Rotation is a natural phenomenon in the universe. Only it's not Newtonian, which is why we haven't got there yet.
Uh-huh.
It's non-Newtonian, and it has to do with forces, non-observable forces. And we haven't had a paradigm yet that would allow us to bridge from this non-Newtonian, non-observable energy to the physical machinery. And that's what Keeley did. He created this paradigm. And that's why I'm building a wiki, because it's helping me sort it out to where we can have this paradigm eventually.
Very good. And just for the listeners out there and anyone that may listen to the show later on, if you have ever come across any kind of work by John Worrell Keeley, it would be really great whether to send it. And, of course, to send it to Dale, who you can contact him through the Dale Pond Science Institute, because this and may, who knows what someone else may have in their possession if they're willing to share it with you, which I feel would be very important. Also,
Aaron?
Yes.
May I chime in here? Can you both hear me? Okay.
You're much better. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay, thank you. I have a question for you, Dale. I'm here looking at your site, and I'm looking at the different apparatuses here. Where did the names for these come from? Did you intuitively feel the names? Did they tell you vibrationally the name they would like to be called, such as Atlin, Samuel, Altea?
Each of the owners, of the dinospheres would come up with their own name, and they would intuit it or from spiritual sources or whatever. The name for Atlan was different because we didn't really know what was going on, and the name comes from by mixing the terms A for the first, like Alpha is the first. ATL, Atl, was the old name for Atlantis. And then the IN is the feminine diminutive form. So you mix those together and you get Atlan. And that just came up one afternoon, and I pieced that all together, and it worked fine. Worked great.
Understood.
Everybody else gets their own name. They put their own name on it.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. One more question before, and Dale, I don't remember if I mentioned this to you, but at the end of the hour, we take about a 3, 4, 5 minute, depending on the song, just musical break. That gives you a chance to take a break as well. And then when we come back, we will continue on, and we will open up the phone lines in the chat room for questions for Dale. So I ask everyone to please hold off calls or questions. Let's go ahead and do that. Now, this does happen. I'm not going to deny them asking you a question. Someone did call in just right when I'm saying that. So let's go ahead and bring them on, and then we're going to go to a quick break. Hello, caller. Welcome to Universal Truth Evolution. Who am I speaking with?
Break as well. And then when we come back, we will...
Caller?
That sounds like they hung up.
Okay, well, they hung up. And also, for those of you who call, if you're going to call, please either step away from the computer or turn down your volume. So,
yes.
Dale, also, I had mentioned that this is a three-hour show, and I forgot to ask how long you wanted to be on. You don't have to be on the entire time. This is why I thought we could just open up for callers and questions in this second hour, and then you're free to go after that. Or if you want to stay on that, I leave that entirely up to the guest.
Well, we'll try it. I don't know if I can hang here 3 hours or not, but we'll try it. If we got enough interested callers, well, sure, I would be happy to answer the questions.
Okay, great. Well, I just wanted to leave that up to you. So let's go ahead and take a quick musical break. And then when we get back, we will open up the phone lines and the chat room for questions for Dale. I've got a few other questions I've got for you. And, of course, I always come up with more and more as we go. So we will be back in about, 4 minutes. Stay tuned.
Make it loud.
right. Welcome back to the Universal Truth Evolution Show. If you've just tuned in, our guest today is Dale Pond, discussing sympathetic vibratory physics. And I am so glad, Dale, that we were able to get connected. Thank you very much for being on the show today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
We do have a caller. They've been waiting through the break very patiently, so we're going to go and bring them on.
That's all right. I'll get that for you.
Caller?
I get to ask what I want to do with that. And there
okay,
are
you got that?
I can ignore it. I
can you hear me?
I can say that. I can go, well, you know, she's busy. And
so, well, what do you think?
Okay, well, caller calling from 614. I just had to take mute you for now because I'm hearing... I'm not sure if you heard me or not, but we were unable to get through. So maybe you can try giving us a call back, but there was a lot of audio in the background there. So hopefully we will have them call us back. But if you want to call and ask Dale a question, the number is 323-580-5761, or you can ask the question directly in the chat room, or you can call us from your Skype. So, Roger, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I am here.
All right. Do you have any questions for Dale?
Yeah, Dale, what kind of experiments do you do with this? Do you practice mind over matter? Do you practice telekinesis? What do you do with your machine?
I don't do a whole lot with it. We've done some experimenting in the past. One thing up front, though, is the machine is one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there's others, I mean, this one is the first one, and it's one of a kind. And I don't mess with it any more than I absolutely have to. So I don't do, you know... slice and dice experimental type stuff. Or we have, like I said, we've placed objects around it to measure, to see if we could transport that energy, and yes, we can. We've had thousands of people by invitation come and be around it and report to us what they've experienced. We've had, some of those are quite amazing, actually, what happened to some of those people. Some of them who are musically inclined became super inspired and did performances that just defied description. And one guy placed a brand new unused guitar near one overnight. And when he went to play it the next day, he said it became mellowed overnight like a very old guitar. It has this old mellow sound.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. And the lady in Chicago doing the clinic work, she called me on the phone a couple years ago, and it was just the most amazing report I had ever heard. And I asked her to write it up for me so we could put it on the web or something, and she hasn't done that yet. But I think when that happens, it's going to be a watershed event because she's doing things that are seemingly impossible. They're not supposed to be doable, and she's been doing them on a routine basis. And
what?
My work, the real work that I do is, okay, I'm hearing all these stories, I'm seeing all these experiences, what is the underlying cause of all this that we see? Because if we don't have a paradigm, we really just got to have a bunch of stories.
Uh-huh.
So the wiki is where I'm building this paradigm, and we are building it in such a way that, yeah, okay, now we can begin to see how these things are possible. And that's where I've been working. Because in the health industry for the past 150 years, you know, they've been beaten up and thrown in jail and burned at the stake and everything else because they couldn't explain what they were doing. You know, you hear about these religious things where some guy gets up on the stage and he says Jesus saves and whatnot, and everybody starts throwing their crutches up on the stage. Well, I'm sure there's some staging in that, maybe some even hoaxes, but the bulk of it is real. So what's the truth behind it? How does that happen? What's going on?
Right. What kind of intelligence?
Explain that in scientific terms,
mm-hmm.
so that somebody else, once they learn it, can actually do it themselves.
Right.
So then we don't have anything. It's just woo-woo stuff.
Right. And I'm interested in hearing your take on the consciousnesses, the consciousness that inhabits each one of these. Is it artificial? Do you believe it to be artificial because it's created? Or do you believe that the energy was already there and somehow it's being channeled through this device?
I never really gave a whole lot of thought to that. What I have seen, though, is first it's not artificial because nobody's creating artificial consciousness. What we did was create a vehicle for a given consciousness to make use of. And based on some of the messages we have had from some of these entities, it's almost like a baby. You know, you get out and you create a baby, and this baby comes in the world and it's got its own consciousness. Well, there's a karmic relationship between mother and father and siblings and that new baby. It came here for a purpose. It came here to do certain things and to experience certain things and also to create experiences in other people's lives. And I think that's the same thing with these consciousness. I just think it's just another entity that says, great, I'm going to help this person do this thing and I'm going to be part of this device. They're not, you know, consciousness is mobile.
Yes.
Yes,
so
it is.
It's not fastened in or glued into the machine. I mean, it's just there voluntarily.
Right. Which leads me to a question. But before that, we do have a caller. I'm just going
to
bring him on.
Press,
hello,
Gail
caller. Welcome to the
You know what? This is hilarious. I just got to point this out on That's My Word Radio.
Okay. Don't know what's going on there. But,
me either. That's strange.
That is quite strange. So whoever's calling from Area 614, I don't know if it's a prank or what's going on there, but I do apologize if you're trying to get through, but we're getting a lot of disruption every time I bring that one on the air. So I apologize if you're trying to call. We talk a lot about meditation on this show, Dale. I'm wondering, have you seen people who perhaps had difficulty meditating or didn't know how, and when they came in contact with the dynasphere, it was enhanced or something took place to where they found it easier to meditate? Or have you come across anything like that?
Yeah, actually. The dynasphere puts out this harmonic energy, which is very comforting, very loving, feeling energy. And you can meditate to whatever level you want, you dare to meditate to, and it will help do that. We've had people go into meditation, and we had one person in the beginning when we didn't know what we were doing. We just started this research into what's going on here. And she thought she could wake up, and she sat there and meditated, and she didn't quite wake up, but she was well on her way to waking up, and when she scared herself, because
wow.
So much happens to you in that instant, you know, it just becomes almost a shocking experience, and she got afraid. She became afraid because so much was coming up in her mind so quickly, and we eventually got that understood and became another experience. And then we've had other people come into the room, and one lady especially had just broken up with her boyfriend, and
mm-hmm.
she was emotionally devastated, I mean, just a wreck. And within 2 or 3 minutes, this gal was beaming from ear to ear, and it was just an amazing transformation.
Wow.
So, yeah, you can get closer, into what you are on the inside by being around these things, because that's the kind of energy they put out. And we know from our study of this that the undifferentiated mind, which is the mind you reach for when you're meditating, is basically the cosmic mind, or the mind of God, if you will. And our thinking mind that we do in our ego, we're thinking about groceries or running the computer or whatever, that's a differentiated split mind. And it's not creative, it's not anything but just our ability to deal with day-to-day things. And as you meditate, you're letting go of this fractured thinking process, and you move into where your mind is whole, or just one quiet awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's where the healing comes from. It's where the knowledge comes from. And you experience happiness, peace, and joy. And that's what this lady experienced when she let go of her own thinking, or her aberrated thinking from that experience. She just moved naturally into the harmonious mindset.
And I think that's
important. We're beginning to understand a lot with this.
Well, yeah, and I think it's very important that people come approach something like this with an open mind. Dee Dee in the chat room asks, Dale, what's your ultimate goal as far as these dinospheres are concerned?
Well, it's many different goals. One goal is to get rotation on it,
mm-hmm.
like Keely has, so we can use it as a power source. In order to do that, we're going to need to know a lot more about the physics, the science behind it. So we're always pursuing that avenue. And together with that, we'll be developed this science, which means we'll be able to apply these principles in other machinery yet to be invented. And that's going to bring a huge dramatic shift in science in this world, and we can start harnessing mind force or heart force or the force of love in our machinery. I mean, that alone will transform this planet.
Absolutely.
Other goals that I have with it is to get more people interested so they're pursuing it, and they're looking for ways to develop it in their life in whatever way they want to develop it. And then the overall paradigm, I mean, just take a look at the world out there. We're in a mess.
We are.
We're in a mess because people are believing their own belief systems. You know, they got these crazy religions they call belief systems, or belief systems they call religions. And they're fighting with each other. That's just more childishness. We have a better paradigm that says, wait a minute. When they're talking about God, what they really mean is a sympathetic force that connects everything there is in the universe, and it's simply a force. To personify it or anthropomorphize it is like going backwards in development or something. You know, it's simply a force, and it's a very creative force.
Yes.
And things of that nature. You know, through awareness and intelligence, we can create a better future. But if we keep digging around the same old garbage piles, it was still a garbage pile.
Right. Dale, how much do one of these machines cost right now? Can you give us like a price range at all for those of us who would like to have one of these in the future?
Well, I only build it when I have someone who wants one, because they cost so much money in terms of time and work and effort, that I won't build one unless someone is committed to owning it. And I charge $35,000 to build one for that person.
Understood. Thank you.
And it's not just you're throwing metal together. This is a whole process where the parts are treated, my personal chi, every single part's treated as though I were going to bend a spoon. So each part has that kind of...
Understood.
And then get the owner.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if you get the owner's energy also.
Yeah, I send parts to them, and they do that with the parts, and they send them back, and then we assemble it, and I send them books and materials and everything I can send them, and lots of phone conversations. And then when we deliver it, we have a little tiny ceremony where we transfer my energy in the machine to their energy, or transfer their energy into it and mine out of it. And so it becomes their machine. So they're sympathetically linked to it.
Understood.
And it's extraordinary things that happen. When we look at the depth and the levels of interaction that people go through in this process, it's not unlike having a newborn baby arrive.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the world of modern technology, and there's so many things to be done, do you feel that it is at all plausible that at some point these dinospheres could be produced on a maybe a smaller scale to where someone could carry it with them wherever they go? And if they did that, what kind of effect do you think that would have on other people around them?
That's a interesting question. We could make them smaller. I don't know that we could put a factory together and just stamp them out of metal and assemble
right.
them as robots, and out the other end, it'd be like these dinosaurs. I don't think you'd have the same energy. Well, you wouldn't.
Right.
And so a different method of production would have to be developed. So that could happen if we wanted to do that. We've seen what happens when crowds of people come around these things. I mean, they just start partying and they have this great time and this incredible energy, and it changes people, and sometimes quite dramatically.
What kind of precious metals are you using for these, Dale, if I may ask?
No precious metals. We're using mostly yellow brass, some steel, some lead-free pewter, and bronze and copper.
Really?
We also have in the center artificial crystals that are made of tungsten, nickel, and zinc.
Okay.
That's it. That's all the metals that are in these things.
I find that interesting, Roger, about the crystal in the middle, because
I do also.
Well, there are claims, stories, legends, whatever you would say, that this goes into the hollow earth theory that some people actually say that there is a crystal that is in the center of the earth that is the source of so much of the vibrations and the frequencies on the planet. Not to say that there's a direct relation between what that claim and your work, Dale, but it's just something I found interesting that just, you know, popped in my head with that.
Well, what's a crystal? A crystal is sometimes, you know, ideally, a crystal is a pure element. Let's say quartz, which is a silica dioxide, gets you quartz
uh-huh.
crystal. And if it doesn't have any other elements in it, and it was grown without too much interference, well, then you're going to have what they call a perfect crystal. And that means that the transfer of energy through it is without hindrance. It's like a superconductor for electricity.
Okay.
In that regard. If it has a lot of different elements in it, or cracks or inclusions or whatever, then it's not going to be conductive. It's going to be resistant. So the harmony of vibration between atoms is in a concadence. What's that word? Cadence, when they march, everybody's
yes.
marching in step. That's what is in a crystal. Yeah, like
mm-hmm.
a laser.
I see. I was trying to catch one of the questions in the chat room for you, which was a good one. Okay, I found it. One of our team members, Chris, in the chat room has asked, Dale, do you know of anyone before Keeley that worked with sound that had any significant findings or was significant in the work that you do now?
Well, there was Bach, you know, he invented the piano and he invented that new scale.
Uh-huh.
And there was Helmholtz, Tyndall, there's another guy, his name escapes me. But they were doing the basic research. They were exploring the very basic characteristics of what sound and vibration is and music. There was a guy in the 1860s, I think he died in the 1860s, his name was Phineas Quimby. He didn't deal with sound or vibration, he dealt with mind and healing. And it's absolutely incredible that a human being had that kind of understanding at that time period, and he didn't get noticed. He did, however. One of his patients was Mary Baker Eddy, and she did make a big noise about it.
I see.
But she didn't learn exactly what he was telling.
Okay.
And his, yeah.
Great. Thank you. We do have a caller on the line. Hopefully this one will go through. Blog Talk seems to be acting really funny these past couple of days, so let's bring them on. Hello, caller. Welcome to Universal Truth Evolution. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Aaron.
Yes.
This is David. I am the person who suggested that you interview Mr. Pond.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Good. And I wanted to, my interest in this came from finding some of his lectures on Google Video. He's got some fascinating lectures that were taped many years ago, and the scope of his scientific knowledge is just mind-boggling.
Well, you have the opportunity to talk with him right now.
Okay. The thing that fascinated me most, and the kind of one of the, well, I know that you'll love this part too. It seemed to me, now we all know the story of Tesla and the technology that he was creating being suppressed intentionally with electrical conduction. And so here in this case with Keeley, we have this other sort of technology that is, you know, if we stop and just picture this in our mind, here 100 and something years ago was this device that was, you know, powering a factory on nothing, basically. So, and then here we have another example of what I think was a concerted effort by the powers that be to suppress this. Dale has even mentioned today that the literature and the books that Keeley had produced have disappeared. Well, that's kind of a casual thing to say that they just disappeared. I think that it was a very concerted effort to suppress this technology. So I was kind of curious to explore that aspect of this a little bit today. That's all.
Okay, well.
Thank you, David.
Dale,
that's a very good question. Yeah, what happened? What happened, as near as I can figure it, is at that time period there was no power system to power the world. We had steam power, water power, and there was a worldwide effort to develop a system that would power industry, because industry was going to be a big deal. And Tesla had Westinghouse, and Edison had Morgan. And which means they both had unlimited funds behind their research, and they battled it out in the front lines, and we kind of know how that happened. But in the meantime, Keeley was over there in Philadelphia, not too far from where they were doing their stuff, and he was doing all these incredible things, and people would come from all over the world to see what he was doing. And I believe that his work scared Westinghouse and especially Morgan and Edison to such an extent that they basically boxed Keeley in economically and financially and every other kind of way they could do it, so that he wouldn't get out into the public, so that he wouldn't become a competitor, because his system was far superior to anything they ever had or ever will have. And when he died, I believe they made a concerted effort to comb the libraries and comb the newspaper offices and comb the bookshops to gather up whatever thing they could find that mentioned Keeley's name and do away with it.
Wow.
We were told in one of our psychic sessions that, because Keeley made hundreds of machines, if not thousands, and all those machines, when he died, were gathered up and they were split into three groups. And one group went to Siberia, of all places. This is what we were told. I don't know if it's true or not. One group went to Carnegie, Andrew Carnegie. He was a rascal, and he took one-third of it, and it's buried in his tomb up there in Scotland. And the other third was taken to Y-12, which is Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And in Oak Ridge, in this place called Y-12, we were told it's like a museum. They've got Russell stuff and Tesla stuff and everybody's stuff in there. It's a super cosmic classified museum. So, yeah,
wow.
He was, and ever since, they've been writing, they rewrote all the textbooks in the first part of the 1900s, all the science books, and they did away with the real science, so that all we got to work with today is a bunch of junk, Newtonian crap, and we're told that's the way it is. Well, these guys wanted to own the world, and they did. They had the money to do it. In fact, Carnegie bragged about owning the world. It wasn't anything more to own.
Yeah, it's amazing the massive amount of effort it's taken to suppress someone's work like this. And Dave, let me just say, I wanted to thank you. I get so many suggestions, and sometimes I forget who suggests what guests to me, but you were the one that actually introduced me to Dale Pond's work, and I want to thank you for suggesting him as a guest, because I learn something new every day when I have this show. So thank you very much for being the one who sent me Dale's information to have him on the show.
Welcome. I knew that you would love it. I encourage you to look for his lectures from like the 80s and 90s on Google Video. They're just beyond fascinating.
I'm definitely going to be doing that. That's all I ever watch or stuff like that. I don't own a TV, nor do I watch TV. So when I do actually have time to sit down and watch something, this is the kind of information and videos that I watch. But did you have any other questions or comments that you wanted to send Dale's way?
Well, I don't think so, other than to tie in this into the kind of research and expose that you do about suppression of technology and information today, right now in our modern world, and that this has been going on for a long time.
Sure has. Absolutely. Well, David, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, you have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. Dale, we had a question in the chat room from one of our regular listeners, Colleen. Colleen asks, Dale, have you ever taken pictures around the dinosphere showing any energy phenomenon?
Not photographs, but
okay.
We did have a psychic artist who did some renderings, and she showed these incredible waves of energy and color and lights all around it.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a painting, two of them actually, one month apart from each other. And they were quite revealing, very impressive art. And we cannot discount these people who are very sensitive. In fact,
yes.
It's one of our tragedies of our society is that we push them to the side because they can see a broader spectrum of energy than the rest of us. Doesn't mean they're nuts. It just means they have more talent in that particular area. And if they're artistic like this lady was, you get this incredible information that was not available before that.
So, go ahead, Roger.
I'm sorry. Have you ever thought about, using Curlian technology to snap pictures of this to see what kind of energy might be emanating off this on any of these devices?
Yeah, if we had the funding, we would have infrared and ultraviolet cameras in here, and we could see a lot of the stuff that we don't see with our narrow vision eyes.
Right.
And we're also trying to develop instrumentation to detect and measure this energy. We're kind of at the stage today where we were in the 1800s. When electricity had been played with as a toy for thousands of years, you know, they had rubbed amber on and glass rods and things, and they'd shock each other, and it was just a parlor game. Until people like Volt and Ampere and Tesla and Faraday came along and they developed their instrumentation to measure a certain aspect of electricity or magnetism, and then it became a science when you could measure it. That's where we are today. We need to develop the instrumentations to detect and measure these energies, and then it becomes a science.
Understood.
Princeton University used statistics. They developed all kinds of instruments to work with that. Emoto has developed his process, and other people are working on it in different areas and different regards. And soon, very soon, we're going to have those instruments, and this thing will be the greatest thing to hit the planet since electricity.
Well, I want one for sure.
Yeah, I do too. Bill's hat in the chat room asks, Dale, if what you say is true about atom sympathy, could people raise their vibration and have similar effects on others?
Yeah, it's not so much raising your vibration as quieting down the aberrant vibrations, because the natural vibrations are already pure, what they are. And what disturbs them is our emotions and our disturbed thinking and our crazy ideas and our hyperactivities and the radio waves and the telephone waves and all this other garbage. When you quiet yourself down, like as in the meditation process, the cords become very pure. And people can feel that. That's what the dinosaur does, because the spheres, when a sphere vibrates internally, it creates a harmonic series of vibrations without the overtones and the partials and the harmonics. And that's what they're feeling, coupled with all the other stuff we put in there. So, it's people can very easily do that. A lot of people do it. The Reiki training can help you do that. Just learning how to be peaceful and at peace and quiet develops that energy within you. It's already in you.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree. It's all within us. It's just a matter of finding one's own, I guess, custom fit on how to bring out that vibration. Chakra Ruby Blue in the chat room asks, can some types of music lower vibrations?
Oh, yeah. The minor tones, all this music written in minor tones is can be very depressing. It can depress your own energy because you want to, you know, you hear a catchy little tune and your foot starts tapping. That develops energy. If you hear a tone that, if you hear a song that's written in a minor tone, like a dirge or something, you don't want to tap your foot. You want to cry. So, yeah, music has tremendous effects on people.
I completely agree. And this is why there's a lot of music out there I won't listen to, because one of the things that I was actually talking with my wife about this the other day, that a lot of the music, I don't want to classify all of it because I don't want anyone to feel like they're being targeted, but there is music out there in the what's known as the top 40 where a certain rhythm and tones are used that can have a mind-controlling effect. And this is, and you see this as how the people react to that music. Music is definitely a very powerful tool that can be used on either side of the spectrum for good intentions or negative intentions. So this is why there's a lot of music out there that I won't listen to because of that. Let me give the phone number again real quick, because it was just requested in the chat room. If you want to call in and ask Dale a question, the number is 323-580-5761. We had another, and so while we're waiting for that, there was another question in the chat room. Hopefully I can find it because the chat room scrolls along so quickly. I don't remember, I'm not sure where it is, but someone had asked, I think they had come into the show later on asking how much one of these devices, a dinosaur, costs. Dale said $35,000, and he explained why. It's a very intricate piece of a device, and there's a lot of steps that are taken. You really have to be committed if you want one of these. And I'm assuming that with that commitment, Dale, someone actually comes to you, or do you go to them when this is, when this transaction is being taking place?
Yeah, we establish a rapport etherically, because without that rapport, I can't proceed with the construction. I mean, we did that once,
yeah.
And the rapport was broken between me and the buyer, and I had to drive clear across the country.
Wow.
To establish that rapport so that we could get on with it and get the thing finished.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's just part of the process. We're building a machine that houses a consciousness, and it's like having a baby, you know. If the mother and father aren't having a rapport, I mean, this is not going to be a good thing. And so that's what we try and do. We try and build a loving environment etherically and physically in the shop. You know, if there's noise going on in the shop or I'm not in a good mood or something, I don't work on it. I won't touch it.
Well, I believe the commitment is very important with that. Ed Chavez, one of our regular listeners, has a question in the chat room. Ed, hold off on that question real quick. I won't forget it because we do have a caller, so let's bring them on. Hello, caller. Welcome to Universal Truth Evolution. Who am I speaking with?
It's Bugaboo, a.k.a. Kathy.
Hey, Kathy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to add something to what you guys were just speaking about. It was just a really good show on PBS, and it did MRI scans on people with different songs, and it showed how the brain activity reacted better to different music for some people than it did other people. And there was, getting deeper on that, there was even this guy, I think something happened to his head or his brain or something, so he had some accident. And after that, in fact, it goes even further, saying, I mean, he totally never played piano before and got engrossed in piano and became like this concerto, like overnight almost, because I think it reacted something in his brain from a past life. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's pretty bizarre. But they have studies that show how different music affects your brain differently. Even some classical music doesn't
right.
affect people's brains properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, not all classical musicians were divinely inspired.
Right. That
some
is
were,
true.
Some weren't. Actually, we saw a lot of classical music being played spontaneously around Atlant when we had it in Tulsa. We had a baby grand piano in the same room, and people would sit down, and this absolutely stunning music would come forth.
Right.
So,
the brain activity difference was unbelievable to see on MRI. It was just a eureka moment. You know, I wish I remembered the name of the show on PBS. I tell you all, but I forget. I'm sorry. It was just on a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I've seen stuff like this on YouTube and other video sites of such results, and it is quite an amazing clear evidence of how the effect, the physical effect on the body.
Absolutely.
Music has.
Absolutely. It totally does. That's what I wanted to add, my 2 cents for the week.
You know, they play marching music in military scenarios because it rouses the emotions.
That's why they have all that music also at sporting events to get people going, you know what I mean? All that.
Yeah.
We were rocking
so
and stuff like
minor.
That, you know?
Well, even in my time in the military, I do remember a few times when more, you could say, violent type of music was played before we would go out on a mission, and it would get everyone kind of, you could say, amped up and
right
in the mindset.
But there
on
is
the good
nothing.
Side to get ready to fight, I'm sure.
There
yeah.
is nothing like Scottish bagpipes. Thank you very much.
You know,
well,
somebody just told me that they had a really weird connection with that music, and I said it was probably a past life.
Yeah,
well,
I got to
wear one. Being Scottish myself, I have a lot of bagpipe music saved in my archives, and maybe it's just a Celtic thing, but I've been to places where pipe and drum bands were, where they were actually playing, you know, with the hearing the real deal. And I tell you, it sent me through the roof.
I had a girlfriend that sang in an Irish band. She was from Southeast Wexford in Ireland, and she sounded so angelic. Her voice was just like so different than we would sing here, you know. So it's
absolutely
totally a different vibe. It's not like an angel, you know. It's soothing. It is.
It is. All right. Well, I want to.
Cool.
I've got a few other questions I want to get to, but
no
problem. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
You're
as
welcome.
Always.
No problem. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Before I forget, and yes, I just want to say that there's definitely some music out there. And of course, maybe I'm pitching Celtic music because I happen to be Celtic myself, but there are many different types of musics out there around the world that offers a really great effect. Before I forget, I promised Ed that I would ask this question. I think it's a very good question that I didn't even think about. With the dinospheres, have you ever done any, have you had any animals, dogs, cats, whatever, interact or be around these devices, and what was the outcome?
Yeah, we have had, I did have a dog when I was in Oklahoma, but I can't say that I noticed any effect with that particular dog. And we haven't really had any other animals around them. I'm trying to run through my memories here, and I don't recall any that. No, I don't think there is. Has been. Could be,
okay.
But we haven't tried it. We had some interesting experiences with a herd of horses up in Montana, but I can't say they had anything to do with the dinosaur.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I guess that. Yes, go ahead, Roger.
Okay, I do have a question that I was private message here from Mr. Thomas Don Williams, UPE team member. He asked, are there diagrams out there, Dale, on how to build one of these things?
No, they're not, and we do that for a reason. We haven't released the drawings or blueprints yet, because we don't have the thing rotating, which indicates that we're not sure about our design. Until we are sure of our design, we're not going to put the design out, because we don't want any more failures.
Understood.
In building a free, you know, people think of it as a free energy machine, and we don't need any more failures. We need successes.
Understood.
And until we get this thing understood properly, I don't think it'd be a good idea to release these, because somebody make one that doesn't work, they didn't follow the blueprints right, and then it becomes known that, well, they don't work.
And we're using it for malicious intent. That could always happen also.
Absolutely. And I have to remind people out there,
not anybody's able to build one of these things either. I mean, it takes months to build them. Months.
Yeah.
And not just anybody's going to tackle it. It takes a lot of money and a lot of commitment.
Right, and also, you know, it's important that people realize, like I've expressed in the show before, that things like this take time, and Dale's expressed why, and I feel it's very important, because certainly don't want someone trying to build one of these and hurting themselves, or not building it correctly and saying, well, this is a piece of junk, it doesn't work. With stuff like this, it takes a lot of patience and dedication, which obviously you have, Dale, to be working on something like this. And how long, I didn't even ask you this question, how long have you been working with the Dynasphere?
Well, we built our first one in the winter of 95 and 96.
Uh-huh.
I've been working with a Keeley material since 84. So it's been a long-term deal.
Wow. A long road in the making. Someone had asked.
It's been a long time.
I don't remember who. I think actually it was Graham Truther, who is a regular listener and also a musician. I know, because we play some of their music on the show. Asked about the, Roger, I know I'm going to brutalize the word, the Safaggio scale. Is that how you say it? The Safaggio or?
Yeah, that's close enough.
Okay, well, they're asking about the musical scale and how, if it relates to the dinospheres.
Well, the standard music scale, we don't use that, although we do use it from time to time, because the standard music scale is arbitrarily changed over a period of time.
Uh-huh.
We go back to the original, what they call Pythagorean scale, which are natural vibrations, because we're dealing with natural metals and natural shapes, and we're not trying to create sensually pleasing music. We're trying to deal with the vibrations. So if you want a good-sounding piece of music, you might want to use the modern scale. But if you're going to deal with vibratory machinery and the vibrations in nature or the vibrations in your body, you got to go back to the original natural scale. Otherwise, you're just, you know, you're not doing anything but wasting time. So, yeah, it's scales. I spent 17 years studying scales and tuning of every kind of hands-on. And one day at Tulsa, at that center, we had a guy come in from Wyoming, and he played a auto harp. He sat down and just spontaneously started playing this auto harp, and it was absolutely divine, angelic music coming out of this thing. And the next day, I got up early, and here's this auto harp sitting on the piano, and I says, wow, I get to play with the auto harp before anybody gets up. And I noticed immediately that the thing was completely out of tune. And I got my meter on it, and every string was out of tune by a half step, some of them a step and some by two steps. And it just shocked me to my core, because I just spent 17 years studying tuning.
Right.
And I asked the guy when he got up, I said, did you change these strings or anything? He said, no, I didn't touch it. So everything I thought I knew about tuning pretty much went out the window at that conversation, and I began to really question a lot of things that I was taking for granted. Another experience we had was they had a brown bag event at the local concert hall, and you take your own lunch and you can sit in this space that they had, and one of the opera singers would come out right in the middle of us and just cut forth, you know, and just start singing. Well, I don't know if you ever sat within 20 feet of an opera singer.
Not me.
singing live right there in front of you in the flesh and blood. Because when this gal cut forth with that music, and I'm sitting there choking on my sandwich, because I've been studying the physics of sound and music and tones and vibration, and what I was experiencing, because you don't hear what she's singing, you experience it.
Right.
I could not quantify even a tenth of what I was experiencing. The physics is not there. There's nothing to explain what was going on. In the science, I mean, I've studied the books, and they don't know. They've got just what they know in sound and vibration science is just the tip of the iceberg of what's available. And that's what Keeley did. He penetrated that iceberg. He dug deeper than any person before or since. And he was able to uncover all these incredible forces and energies and relationships that we're only now just beginning to get an idea about. It's just extraordinary. So there's a place for the geeks, you know, the people who are really into that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who do music from the heart are way beyond anything that science can relate to.
So there's definitely a difference between those who just maybe produce music without any true emotion or feelings behind it and those that are playing and creating music from the heart.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's more dimensions to the heart than the physical will ever know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we say the heart, that's where the whole mind is, not the split mind.
Right.
So that when you're in touch with the whole mind, you're in touch with everything. And, you know, you're in sympathy with everything. That's what that means. So that sympathy can unleash, you can hear these these musicians, the great musicians, they will tell you, well, I didn't create this music. I just heard it and put it down on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know where it comes from. You know, the whole mind of man, you know, the universe is musical. So they're picking it up from the universe.
I've done my fair share of that, picking up a tune in a dream and then getting up the next morning and playing it, humming the tune or something or other, and I don't know where it comes from. I just know it.
Yeah, yeah, you just know it. Like Mozart. Mozart was doing that. He's 3 years old, for crying out loud.
Right.
He didn't learn it.
It came to him from somewhere. But,
definitely. No. I mean, listen to Beethoven. My gosh, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, we're coming up to the end of this second hour in the show, and we'll be taking about a four-minute musical break. I'm going to leave it, as I do with the guests, up to you. If you want to continue on into the last hour, or if you feel like we've covered enough, I mean, I've definitely gotten plenty of questions. I always leave this up. And, of course, I don't mind continuing having a conversation with you, but we are coming up to the break, so I just wanted to know if you wanted to stick with us in the final hour or if you wanted to just perhaps give some final thoughts and just share whatever final things you wanted to with the listeners for today. It's entirely up to you.
Well, I'm here, and I think it's getting to be interesting.
It is.
If you know, we're finally getting to some nice feeling questions and comments and ideas. So it depends on your audience. You know, if they want to stay involved, I'll be here for them for the next hour.
Okay.
There's a lot more to this. We're just beginning to touch on it, actually.
Okay, well, we can just, if you don't mind, I'd love to have you on for the last hour, and we'll just keep going, and we'll keep the phone lines and the chat room open for questions. So, Roger, we've got about 2 minutes before we take the break. Did you have any a question you wanted to ask or anything before we go into break?
No, not right now, but I am thinking of more for next hour, trust me.
Oh, I've got some that have just popped in my head, too. So, let's go ahead and just do that now. Let's just take a musical break, give Dale a moment to take a break as well, and then we will continue into the final hour of the show with our guest, Dale Pond, talking about sympathetic vibratory physics and whatever else may come up. Don't be shy, people. You can give us a call. You've got another hour. So let's take a four-minute musical break. This is a song from one of my friends, JP, who resides in Scotland. And it is about a four-minute break. And then we will return with our guest today, Dale Pond. So hold on, everybody. Thank you. All right, everybody, we are back. Welcome to the Universal Truth Evolution Show. If you are just tuning in, our guest today is Dale Pond with the Pond Science Institute and talking about his work with sympathetic vibratory physics and much, much more. And as always, we have with us one of my partners in crime, Roger Silver. Dale, Roger. So,
hi, Aaron. I'm back.
Okay, great. I'm going to give out the phone number again, and I really encourage everyone to call. Now, Dale, this is a fairly new show, so we do have quite a nice size listening audience, but they seem to get a little timid when I open up the phone lines. But hopefully in time, we'll have more people wanting to call. The phone number is 323-580-5761, or you can call us with Skype. Or if you've got a question you just want to ask in the chat room, please put it all in capitals so I don't miss it. Roger, I've got a few other questions I want to ask, but I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you for now.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Dale, I'm still focused on the consciousness that is being channeled through the dinosphere. Okay, now we spoke about you putting your energies into this. We also spoke about the soon-to-be owner charging these parts with their energies as well. Do you believe it's a culmination of sympathetic vibrations between you and the soon-to-be owner that creates this dynamic field that this apparatus emits?
I'm not sure I understand your question. The dinosphere, the physical dinosphere of metal and shape, or shaped metal, has a very harmonic chord structure, if you will. It also has musical strings on it that we can tune, and it has a number of different size resonators that we can tune.
Okay.
And the shape, the sizes are also calculated to resonate in certain ways. And when we come up with the consciousness part, I'll tell you how it started, because it started off the cuff, if you will. We were building Atlan, and I was calling my contact every day for instructions or directions or whatever, what we need to build or how to build it. And we only had a few parts, I don't know, 15, 20 parts sitting on the bench that we had made so far. And I called the lady, and she says, "I'm getting nothing. I'm not getting anything." And we talked and talked and talked, because sometimes she'll get something, and she still wasn't getting nothing. And out of frustration, pure raw frustration, I said, "Well, ask the parts." Now, I don't know if you've ever read about the Finhorn Garden in Scotland.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty amazing place. I had read those books about, well, it was 20 years earlier, and they were just fascinating. And they were talking to rocks and tools and plants and the devas and whatever else they could talk to psychically or spiritually, and they were getting all this information. So I called upon that memory of that story, and I said, well, ask the parts. Maybe there's enough parts here. There's something, you know, there's some awareness or something here. And just like that, bam, we got this incredible reading from this spirit or entity or whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
Introduced itself and told us what we were doing and why this was happening. And it just floored both of us. And from then on, it was amazingly smooth sailing to complete this project.
How do you message it, though?
Beg your pardon?
How do you see the messages when it communicates?
I think he asked, how did you receive the message, or how was the message received?
Right.
I was in touch with a world-class psychic on the telephone, and I would call her up, and she'd tell me. She was in touch. I wasn't.
Okay.
I see.
And So it worked great. It worked great. And from that time forward, we started having all kinds of messages from all different kinds of personalities. And they always had a lot of bearing on not just the dinosaur itself, but about the mission and the purpose and the why of it. And the main purpose of it is to be a teacher. So Atlan, you know, I told you that each one of these has their own purpose. Atlan's purpose is to teach us about this. So we learn about the physics of it and the spirituality of it and the science behind it. And that's what's been happening to me. There's no way that I can say that I had all this knowledge in me when we started, because I didn't. And it just kept pouring forth in dreams and messages and just gut-felt intuition. Just an amazing experience this whole thing has been.
It's wonderful when something like that occurs, which comes to this question from Darkest Hour in the chat room. Dale, what would you say is your most profound experience? And that just goes with anything in your life.
That's a pretty tough question. One that pops to mind, and at the time, it was the most profound, without a doubt.
Okay.
And this was back in the 70s. I had just bought a motorcycle because that's the only thing I could afford, and I was driving over Monument Hill north of Colorado Springs. It was a spring, summertime. I was going to see a girlfriend in Castle Rock, the next town up.
Uh-huh.
And here I am going over this hill, and I just topped the hill and started down the other side, and this whole valley opened up. It was just as green could be. And right then, and it was like lightning hit me. It was a sense of oneness. I knew a oneness with the universe, and it hit you like a bolt of lightning is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just exhilarating, absolutely exhilarating experience. And I never forgot that. In fact, because of that experience and a few others I had, not quite that dramatic, in that time period, I began to pursue what happened, why did it happen, and how can I make it happen again?
Uh-huh.
And that's all part of this mind thing. So we're studying mind and what it does and how it does it and you know, what is this oneness? And that's what's coming forth in sympathetic vibratory physics, is the relationship between these things. You know, we go through our life in this 3D world and our thinking processes, which totally creates chaos. But in those instances, when you let go, then that full mindset can come in. There was another story. A couple told me this story. They had their uncle visiting them one day. This is in Nevada. And this uncle, this couple was very spiritual. But the uncle had been a preacher of some kind, Catholic, I think. Priest, I guess, in that case,
right,
all his life, and in the military, and he had participated in Vietnam, and this man was riddled with guilt and self-questioning, and the man was an emotional wreck.
Uh-huh.
And the wife was telling me this story, that one day he was in the kitchen, and he was whining and crying about his experiences, and his, you know, he was not feeling good about himself, and she had just about had enough of this. And she turned around on him and said, she waved her finger in his face, and she said, "You need to go out in the backyard and raise your hands to God and beg his forgiveness," or something like that. I mean, she said it on us, just, you know. So the guy did. He went out in the backyard. He was crippled, by the way. He couldn't walk very well.
Uh-huh.
So he goes out in the backyard, and she forgets it. He comes back in the house. And this man had transformed, and he had done that. He went out and he gave it up. And when he came back in, his legs were healed. He was bawling his eyes out. You know, you could tell this man had changed from the inside out. And she went on and told about this guy, how he was talking to God all the time, and he could tell her her past lives and her husband's past lives, and he basically knew everything. And then one day he came to him and he said, you know what, I know what it's all about now, and I also know I don't need to be here. So he went and got all of his paperwork and everything straightened out, and he just checked out. Oof.
Wow. It seems I've heard experiences like this happen before, and I just want to go back to the experience that you had on the motorcycle. Do you believe, in your opinion, was this perhaps a cosmic message, or what some people refer to as a download, that was really the pinnacle moment that brought you to doing the work that you do now?
No, I don't think it was. I don't think it was a download of information. It was. See, at that time period, I was a member of the Rosicrucian Order out of San Jose, and that's their purpose, is to teach you how to do that.
Okay.
And that happened. A similar experience like that happened a couple of times while I was participating in their meetings or rituals or whatever. But that time on the motorcycle was extraordinary. I mean, it really jumps out at me.
Yeah.
In 83, I had a dream. And this is before I ever heard of Keeley. I wasn't even interested in vibration in those days.
Uh-huh.
I was interested in cycles. But I hadn't even thought about vibrations until later, when I did a lot of work with cycles and I realized, well, you know, there's not enough information in the cycle field to understand it, but maybe there is in music, and that's where I left it. And then I had this dream, and the dream showed me this gentleman who had big, long sideburns, and I'm not going to tell you the whole dream, it's too long, but at that same time period, I had visited Virginia Beach, where the Casey place was, for business reasons. Didn't have anything to do with Casey.
Mm-hmm.
But I joined the Casey outfit when I was there, and they kept sending me all this information. I was in Colorado at the time, and I just got this crazy, crazy idea that I needed to go to Virginia Beach. And that kept bugging me and bugging me and bugging me, and I couldn't understand it, and I was a very unhappy person. I was doing landscape business, and I had this crazy accident, car accident, basically hurt my back, and I couldn't do the work. And more and more and more, this idea of going to Virginia Beach. So one day, I got really crazy. I gave my business to my brother and my mother, and I signed the house over to her, and I threw the dog in the truck, and I went to Virginia Beach.
Wow.
To see what the heck it was. And I got there, and I volunteered in their library, because I love books and I love libraries. And looking for why I was there.
Uh-huh.
And in the off time, I'd drive all over the city. I drove every single street they got in that town, trying to find any kind of indication. Well, at that same time, there was this researcher in England who had recently died. And he had done a lot of research over the years, and he had willed his library and collection to the ARE, the Casey Boys. And there were two librarians over there sorting through his vast library and sending back what they wanted to keep. And in those pouches, which I was part opening, that was part of my job, was to open those pouches and put stuff on the shelves and everything. In those pouches was all this Keeley material. And I opened his biography, and I read one paragraph, and it was like lightning hit me again. This is it. This is why I'm here. And I haven't stopped since.
Amazing. Fantastic story. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I don't. I think I'm here. This is what I'm here for. This is why I came here to this plane, is to do this work. I mean, there's no other way you can explain it.
Yeah, and I do believe that everyone is here for a reason. It's just a matter of discovering what that reason is, and there's many different ways that that takes place. We have a couple of questions in the chat room, so I'm just going to go ahead and go down the line with these. One is probably a short and sweet, or maybe not, answer. Darkest Sour asks, Dale, have you ever seen a UFO?
If we confine the definition of something in the sky that we don't know what it is, yeah. When I was in South America, we saw stuff flying in the sky at night because down there where we were living, we didn't have any kind of artificial lighting or power or anything, so we were always looking at the stars. And we saw so much stuff flying through the sky. This is back in the 60s.
Okay.
And we saw three lights streaking across the sky, very high altitude. And one of them on the outside makes a right angle turn away from the group and then another right angle turn back in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Unfreaking believable. That was in 65.
Wow.
And then there's... I saw other lights. I saw some other stuff, too, that was quite extraordinary.
There's definitely a lot of there's a lot of activity down there in South America that's seen in the skies. And we're actually going to be – we have a guest scheduled who he's a UFO researcher, and primarily his research deals with South America. So that will be an interesting show to have, as they always are. Graham Truther in the chat room asks, Dale, have you ever witnessed anything like telekinesis, levitation, etc., while using the dynasphere?
That's hard to quantify. We saw all these spontaneous healings. We never saw anybody levitate. We saw one guy was... he was quite angry and upset. I mean, the man was angry and upset to such an extent that he was going to attack the dinosaur physically.
Really?
And when he approached the machine, yelling and screaming and swinging his arm like he's going to hit it, this warm, comforting, like a feeling came over me, like a blanket came down on top of me and just said, be at peace.
Uh-huh.
While I'm watching... crazy guy, right? And just as he was swinging his arm, you could see a transformation hit his face like a 2x4. And he went quiet. He sat down in a chair right next to the dinosaur, and he sat there staring at it for a couple minutes, and he got up and left.
Wow.
And that's when I began to I began to understand that that phrase about love needs no defense.
Mm-hmm.
It stopped the anger and totally converted it.
Amazing.
And then another day here at the Institute, I was in shaving one day, and the power goes off. And being an interior room, the bathroom has no light. I mean, it's black as pitch in there. And I said to myself, well, this is a fine thing. I said, no, in Brazil, we used to shave down in Brazil without any lights or anything at all, no mirrors even. I said, I can do this. So when I put my hand up to my face with the razor in it, there was this light that illuminated my face, and I was able to shave in perfect comfort.
Amazing. And that, do you believe that came from the dinosphere?
Well, I believe it came from the dinosaur indirect, and that I've been around it all these years in practicing and working on perfecting or at least having some psychic ability or clairvoyance or whatever. We have these abilities, and as we understand that it's not strange and it's not weird, it's just more of who we are. When we start being comfortable with those thoughts, then we start experiencing more of it.
We were building a dinosaur,
and I needed a certain shape of brass metal for a part. We didn't have any money, you know. We were always begging for money to build this thing. And I called up my psychic friend, and I was whining about not having the money to buy this part and when we're going to get it. And somebody came through her and says, ask Dwayne. He knows. Dwayne was the owner of the shop I was building the dinosaur in.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't know that we had this psychic connection going on. He was a very orthodox religious person. And I didn't know how to ask him without him, without having to reveal to him that we were using these psychic abilities. So I went over to a pile of scrap metal and I started poking around in the pile, and he came over and he says, "What are you doing?" I says, "Well, I'm looking for a piece of brass, so-and-so and so-and-so shape." And he started poking around there, and all of a sudden he jumped up and he says, "I know." And he started walking real fast. He's a real tall person. He's walking real fast. So I had struggled up with him. Went out of the building, across the back lot to this other building, and he pulls out this wad of keys, and he opens the building. We go in, and in the very back end of this warehouse were these huge crates of brass plumbing parts. Sitting right on top of the stack was this piece of brass, and it worked perfect.
That's great.
And then we had things like that happening all the time.
That's a great story, and it's wonderful that that happens. I don't believe in coincidences. I'm a strong believer that things happen for a reason, and that there's a prime example right there. We have
well,
a couple
more.
Other... Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, let me finish this thought before we
sure.
go too far.
Please do.
What it points to is that there are these awarenesses or entities or personalities or spirits or whatever you want to call them that are around us all the time, and they are there helping us if we learn to communicate with them and work with them. Eventually, I told Dwayne what we were doing. I bought a six-pack of beer before I told him. And once I told him and he understood, then he started doing it. And it transformed the way that he worked in the shop. He had been working in the shop all his whole life. Well, it changed his whole life.
Wow.
Because here's this intelligence that we can access and use it in these incredibly creative ways.
Very inspiring. It's amazing what the littlest thing, the littlest seed that's planted can have such an amazing growth in someone without them maybe even never considering something like that. I encounter people share experiences like this quite often with me, and I just find it so amazing, and it just seems to be happening more and more these days, which is great, and I feel essential.
So now then, you know, than ever, with everything speeding up all around us,
yes,
everything's happening all at once.
I agree. One of the
well, that's the awakening.
Yes,
that's the awakening from this split level thinking that we've got. We're all moving back to where we have whole mind thinking or heart thinking,
uh-huh.
And that's what's happening in the world. And that's going to happen faster and faster. And all of a sudden, one day, it's just going to overwhelm the old, and that'll be the shift into the new. That's
absolutely
all that's going on. Raising of the consciousness.
Yep.
Before I move on to a question that I have, I'm looking through the website Pond Science Institute, which I posted in the chat room again. You have in here what says the Pond Science Institute is currently putting together an intern/student program. And of course, it says in there November 2009. Has this program come into effect? Do you have a student intern program now at the Pond Science Institute?
No, we don't. Not directly, anyway. I was thinking about, when I did that, I was thinking about getting some people in here, some students who wanted to learn, and they'd pay some tuition or something, and we move this thing forward. I don't think that's really going to work. What I'm thinking now is, if I could find the right person, I would take on an intern.
Ooh.
But I haven't got my person yet. You know, it's just think about it for a minute. I need somebody who's very broad-minded, got lots of experience, and they're ready to be dedicate themselves to doing this kind of work, and shop work or whatever we're doing here.
Do we have to fill out an application?
What?
Do we have to fill out an application?
I haven't formalized the process yet because I'm really unsure about it. I did have one guy. I did have one guy show up. He wanted to. He thought that might be something he wanted to do, and it didn't take very long for me to see that he's not the right person. So, you know, even though through the emails and the phone calls, he did seem like the right person, but meeting them up front, you know, in flesh and blood, you know, they're not right. So I don't know how to do it. So I'm just sitting here waiting for Cosmic to tell me how to do it.
Right. And for all of you listening right now, and obviously with this kind of work, it does take absolute dedication. And if you feel that you're one of those people, then, you know, contact Dale. You can contact him through the website. If you go on to, and I will post the websites again in the chat room, and they are located on the show page. He does have a contact section by email. And also, Colleen asked, where's the Institute located? It is located in Colorado, in, I believe that's La. How do you say that last? The town name?
La Junta.
La Junta. Thank
La
you.
La Junta.
Yes.
Yeah, we're about 60 miles east of Pueblo in the southeast part of the state.
Okay, so there you go. But, of course, as Dale said, it takes definitely absolute dedication. And if you feel that you are one of these people that is dedicated and will put in forth the effort, because certainly don't want someone to just go there and hang out and waste any time. Not to say that someone would, but I feel it's very important that there is more support given to the work that you're doing. So hopefully with this show, perhaps someone or the right person will get in contact with you that can take on an apprenticeship or an internship with you to carry on this work and maybe expand it out more so. I had another the question that I had for you was, there's a lot of discussion with many other people about this, some people call it a magnetic anomaly, or this cosmic wave coming towards the Earth, or the directory hit the Earth coming from the center of the galaxy. Dale, are you familiar with that? And how does that relate to maybe the work that you're doing?
Yeah, I've heard about that, and it's been described in several different ways. Photonic belt, I think, is the most common.
Yes.
And it represents a shift in consciousness is what it does. I don't know if it's a wave or not. Recently, I've been studying some more of the cycles, and it appears as though the mind of humanity goes through this evolutionary progression. And we're right on the cusp of a shift into the next phase. And that would account for whether it's a photonic cloud or some kind of cyclic shift or whatever it is. We are on the cusp of a shift in consciousness. In fact, we're going through that cusp right now.
Yes.
And the cause of it, who knows? You know, it could just be the natural progression of the evolution of the mind or consciousness. And so I kind of look forward to the next couple of years, because this shift is we're in the middle of it. I mean, it's happening right. That's why we're talking on the radio. You couldn't have done this 5 years ago.
I agree.
And I want to see where it's going to go. I am so excited to see humanity expressing its creativity and its humanity and all the things that it does. They've got these spontaneous singing groups now popping up all over the place. I mean, that's breathtaking. That in the face of the New World Order, which is trying to shut us all down, we're not going to be shut down.
No, we're not.
Nonsense.
Right.
You know,
I'm so glad you said that.
We're waking up.
Absolutely. And I really believe that with this shift in consciousness, there will be a lot of things that are going to occur with a lot of the technology that's out there right now that is not good technology. And with these dinospheres, I really believe that this is going to be one of many, many different things out there that will I guess you could say, be a tool that will be more widely available, hopefully within the next couple of years. We are in some very exciting times, definitely, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm also, as I've expressed on the show, and, you know, because there are some things coming up that do concern me as far as what their global elite is currently doing. But as I've expressed before, I do strongly believe in my heart and soul that when it comes down to it, that we will overcome what they're doing. I really do believe that.
Well, it's like around the dinosphere. You know, we had all these people come up around the dinosphere, and they're all different kinds of people. And there's one kind of person that just stunned me into awakeness when I saw what happened. Here's a guy who was very intellectual, although he claimed to be very spiritual. And he was sitting there talking and talking and talking and talking about all of his abilities and this and that and everything else. And then I noticed he started becoming more and more uncomfortable. He started fidgeting and moving around, and all of a sudden he says, "You know what, I don't want to be here anymore," and he just walked out.
Huh.
And that's what's happening. When we bring more and more of this energy into the planet, into our experiences, where more and more people can experience it, the people who are like that, they're not going to die or anything. They're just going to go away. We don't have to fight anybody. They're fighting themselves. We don't have to do anything. All we gotta do is be in a loving state and know that that everything's great and everything's fine, and they're gonna leave. They can't be here.
I completely agree. It's like what I have expressed. How just imagine the world splitting, but not physically splitting, but splitting perhaps in consciousness, as far as those who will accept and embrace what's happening, those who may not. And it can get into a little bit of a scary area, which what I've spoken about before, how the reality is that there are people out there now and that will, who are feeling this energy, this frequency, or whatever you want to call it, that's coming in, and they're becoming very defensive about it. And as we get closer to the climax of it, there will be more and more people out there who will embrace it, and there will also be more and more people out there who may, you know, without saying cliche, run to the hills or become violent in some way.
Right. There is a polarization that is taking place everywhere. I mean, even with members of my family, they think I'm nuts, but you know what? I just might be. Oh, sorry. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. True. Yes, I've seen this with others where there's been a split in the feeling of what's happening, but that's okay because everyone has their own path. We've got about 24 minutes left in the show. I'm going to give out the number one more time. It seems that the questions have kind of dwindled down a bit, but I'm going to give people another little bit more chance to give a call, because if we don't get any calls, then we'll go ahead and, you know, give Dale the floor to give some closing thoughts. And then we will, Roger and I will make some other announcements of things to come. So the number is 323-580-5761. You can give us a call. If you've got any other questions, go ahead and type them up in the chat room, or you can call us through Skype. Roger, do you have any more questions for Dale?
Not off the top of my head. No, I do not. I'm kind of multitasking at the same time, so please forgive me, but I will try to think of a few here before the end of this hour.
Okay, well, I do have a few other questions, and we did just get one in the chat room from Ed Chavez, one of our regular listeners. He wants to know how many Dinospheres have been sold, or how many are out there right now from your institute?
Well, we made 5 so far. And it's very interesting how this all happened. I never went out to sell these. I didn't really market them, and I did minorly, you know, like if you want to know about it, call me. And the first one, I was doing a workshop with the dinosaur, and that energy started kicking in, and everybody started getting happy and joyful and all that. And afterwards, a guy walked up to me and he says, "I want one."
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first one that I made for somebody else. That was number two. And that's pretty much how it happened. Or somebody would call me and say, "How much are they? And do you want it all now or what?" And so I built them. And after I delivered the last one to California, I was playing around in Google Earth. And I put those little stick pins in where these dinosaurs were all located.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a straight line between four of them, California, Colorado, Chicago, and Maine. Almost a perfect straight line.
Wow.
I couldn't believe my eyes. And when you consider that there's an energy beam that comes out of the shaft, and they're all oriented east to west, that's part of the physics of it, that this beam comes out, we don't know how far the beam goes, but it's quite extensive. And if you extend those lines out, then there's this grid pattern across that covers the United States. It's really, it was a stunning development.
Like ley lines.
And I don't know what it all means. One thing we do know is there's this around, it's been known for a long time that all of the consciousness or mind energy of all the people create this like a cloud that covers the earth. So there's mm-hmm. this global mindset of humanity, if you will. And you can change, you can have an effect upon it if you have a strong will, like Jesus had a strong will. I don't know how you explain how his teachings went all over the world, but mm-hmm. and you can have an effect on that mind. It's called the noosphere. Sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was building these dinosaurs, I got to thinking, you know, these things are sitting here pumping out all this love energy, and it's all going into the noosphere. We're modulating the noosphere to be a more loving consciousness just by them sitting where they're sitting. They don't have to do anything. They're just, that's what they do. They're pumping out all this love force, mind force.
Wow.
So I don't know how real that is, but everything I've studied says that it is, that is what's going on, but to what extent, we don't know. You know, what would the world be today if we didn't have these out there? That's a question I ask myself now and then.
It's a good question that we should all ask ourselves.
Yeah, right, right. Dale, Ed is asking in the chat room, have people that have them now said anything about how these devices have affected them or other people near them recently?
Were you able to catch that, Dale?
Most of these people are very... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For the most part, these people are very private. We don't have much communication going on, but the communications we have had are extraordinary. Like I said, the guy in California is waking up, and he's attributing it all to the dinosaur. The gal in Chicago with the health clinic, she reported that extraordinary report that I'd sure mm-hmm. like to have that in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard much from the guy on the East Coast. There's another one down in Texas, and he reports, we do talk now and then, and he's got nothing but good things to say about it. In fact, he wants to buy more of them.
Good.
So, yeah, it's been a very positive effect on them directly and mm-hmm. indirectly on their family members.
Okay.
And the people that they have coming around them.
Right. Have you had anyone reporting any negative or malevolent effects?
Never. We never had one. The
okay.
one gal in Tulsa who thought she could wake up, and she stirred up all those memories and whatnot from the inside of her, she took that all to be negative. And since we didn't know how to address what was going on, we didn't know what was going on. You know, I was in a lot of questioning mode at that point. But within 3 weeks, we had it all figured out, and we knew that it was all of her stuff coming up all at once. And it didn't have anything to do with the dinosaur.
So it was almost like a detox.
No, we haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a detox, yeah. So sometimes when people wake up, they dump all this abuse they had when they were kids or whatever. And but we don't see that. We don't. That was the only time we ever saw anything like that, and it wasn't part of the dinosaur.
Interesting. It's this is something that I need to remind people that, and not necessarily for the people listening to the show, but this, you could say, psychic or spiritual detox is sometimes very essential to go through, because there can be suppressed memories or something that occurred with your past that was traumatic, and these kind of things do have to be detoxed out of your body. It's essential, and this is something that, as Roger, you know, that Jeff Harvey, one of our guests, has talked about as far as the metaphysical side of detoxing, not just the physical side.
Yes, yes, and I was just thinking of Mr. Harvey here when we were speaking about the detox. I would really, really like to get his take on these devices as well.
Well, yeah, that would be very interesting. I'll definitely have to give, or you can give, one of us could give Jeff a call and ask
sure.
him about this, because Jeff's always looking for new, is always looking to network with more people on this kind of work, and I think that would be a very, very great thing.
Oh, yeah.
We've got another question in the chat room, and then I think we're at a good point to give Dale some moments to maybe express any final thoughts or anything that he wants the people listening to know, and then perhaps talk about any upcoming events or whatever's going on that Dale's working on. So before we do that, Darkest Hour in the chat room asks, Dale, have you ever thought of having meditation sessions around these machines?
Yeah, we did. That was a central activity or non-activity at the center in Tulsa. We had people come in every Thursday evening for meditation sessions, and that's when we started seeing all this extraordinary healings and psychic events and things happening. And the dinosaur is like a meditating Buddha. It's sitting there pumping out this pure energy, and you're sitting there close to it in that aura, if you will, and you can get in sympathy with it and be like that also. And that's when these extraordinary things start happening. The healings come about because the body is a messenger for your system. And if you've got negative thought patterns that you developed when you were a kid or something, or you're reacting to something negatively in your environment, it will manifest in your body as a pain or an illness or a disease or even a suggestion, like Quimby. Quimby was the man, if you want to know about healing, read Quimby. And the dinosaur helps you relax, and you can start to let go of those things, even though you're not even aware of them. You let go of them, you start to relax that mental constriction that's held in the body, and that's when the healings happen. So we're beginning to understand that concept of disease and destruction of the body in our lives. So it's not just about the physics of machinery and power, it's about the power that's in the mind and how it manifests in our own lives. And once we begin to understand its dynamics, there's no reason why we should have any illness or disease or anything out there whatsoever when they start understanding these things.
Very true.
So I hope that answers the question. I was hoping to have more of that type of activity here, but this it's a very small farm ranching community, which is really good for my research. But we don't have a lot of metaphysical type people here. There are some.
Hopefully, in time, more will come to, if nothing else, come to visit the place and get the word out. And like I said before, for those of you listening or may listen later on, if you feel you are that person that can dedicate yourself wholeheartedly, 100%, into the work that Dale does, and you're interested in an internship, an apprenticeship, or what, or something of that matter, you can contact Dale via email on his website, which I will post again in the chat room. And I will also just say him right now real quick. It's www.svpvril.com or www.pondscienceinstitute.on-rev.com. Dale, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today, and the people in the chat room have definitely enjoyed it. They've been giving a lot of positive feedback. I, for one, thank you for the work that you're doing, and I'm going to continue keeping up with it. And it looks like I've got some more research to add of the larger scale of research I just do on my own. I guess I'm kind of a novice researcher, but I'm always seeking to find new information and doing what I can to share it with everyone. So in the last bit of this show, I was wondering if you could just, if there's anything that you want the listeners to know or any final message you have for them, and maybe in the upcoming projects or speaking events or anything you have, now's the time to definitely let them know.
I'm preparing a paper to deliver at the TESSA conference in Albuquerque next July. And that's a free energy conference, so there'll be a lot of talk about Tesla's inventions and Schauberger and Reich and all those people. And I'm going to be talking about the current research that we're doing and help recruit some more people into building up the paradigm so that we all have some kind of basis to work from. And I think people should be open to this spiritual aspect of life that's been sidelined. The religions have kind of dominated it, and then they've distorted it in all different kinds of ways. And, of course, every one of them claims to be right, when what they're really talking about is the physics of mind and matter. You know, how did the matter, the physical matter, come out of the non-observable, non-physical spirit?
Uh-huh.
That's what we're investigating here. And when we learn about those things, we realize, well, it's all about force and energy and the mathematics of it. There's no real personifications out there that we need to adhere to. If we got our feet on the ground and our heads in the clouds, we got a pretty good balance. But too much on either way, in either direction, we start to lose that balance and we start to get caught up in nonsense. But the balance is essential. The connecting link is sympathy or love. And everything in the universe is made of that and made of nothing else. And that's the awakening of mankind, when we realize that we're more than what we were told we were.
Precisely.
We were told we were these accidents on the planet and need to get rid of 90% of them. That's pretty stupid.
That's very.
Yeah. So I'm all for the future. I think we've got a future ahead of us. There's going to be bumps, of course, but it's going to be extraordinary. When you look at, I just ran across a video the other day that just floored me. I've never experienced anything like that before, by Keisha Crowther.
Ah, yes, the little grandmother.
Yeah, a little grandmother. Absolutely stunning. And when I saw that, it rekindled my belief in humanity that, yeah, there is this, we can move forward, and we don't have to stay stuck in the crap that they've been teaching us.
I agree. In fact, I'm going to be contacting Keisha to see if she would like to be a guest on this show, because I've seen some of her stuff, and I really like what she has to say.
Yep.
Well, Dale, again, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for sticking with us for these 3 hours.
Thank you, Dale.
Really, really enjoyed. I'd like to definitely keep in touch with you. And if you ever get any updated information or anything like that, you're more than welcome to contact me, and I'd love to have you on the show again at some point.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me and putting up with it. And I do look forward to another talk with you.
Great.
Right
and,
on.
And, you know, if I'm ever in Colorado, I definitely would like to stop by and visit with you, maybe go have lunch or something, and schedule permitted, I'd love to actually be in attendance at that conference and hear you speak.
Hey, that'd be great. Yeah, come on by.
Definitely.
We've got plenty of room.
Wonderful. Well, everybody, this has been another great show. And Dale, thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and let you go, and I will definitely stay in contact with you. So you have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, you too. Thank you, and bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Ed. I mean, Dale.
Well,
I'm looking at the chat room at the same time.
Well, I really, really enjoyed that. I was glad that Dale was able to get on the show and speak with us. Amazing, amazing work that he's doing. And I'm very, very happy to have had him on the show. This kind of work is just, you know, I mean, Dale is just another amazing example of what possibilities are out there. And it's so expansive. It's so large that I just feel that we've yet to really begin to scratch the surface of what's out there.
Right. And when you think about it, everyone we've interviewed thus far and all of the interviews on other shows we've heard, Aaron, everything is connected. Everything.
Yes, it sure is. It's absolutely connected. I want to remind everybody, and I encourage you all to definitely check out Dale's websites. I put them in the chat room again. They are on the show page at the bottom. He's got a lot of information out there. There was a question in the chat room earlier. I apologize, I didn't get to it. I just remembered. The question was about, I guess, images or pictures on his website that you can feel energy from. He's got thousands of pictures on there. Look through it and see what resonates with you, because he did say that he's had people reply to him that they've had effects or experiences just from looking at the pictures of the dinosaur. So just check that out and explore with yourself. Tomorrow, our guest is Dr. Bernard Alvarez, discussing about revealing the real matrix and empowering the human experience. Bernard has his own show that I've been on, GIC. In fact, I'm going to be a guest on his show next week. I don't remember exactly when, but it's going to be a great show. Dr. Bernard Alvarez has a lot of great information, so definitely tune in there. And don't be shy, people. You can give us a call. You know, even if you just want to call and say hi, don't be afraid. We'd love to hear from you.
Just like that, too. Just like that. Hi.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
And I know that a lot of people were poking at Colleen McClure to call. Colleen, don't be afraid. Give us a call.
Oh, yeah. That was my fault. I started it. I'm so sorry, Colleen.
That's all right. I always say, if I'm not picking on you, then I don't like you.
Right.
So we've got, I guess we can, you know. Roger, any final thoughts as far as what was discussed in the show today?
I'm definitely thinking about trying to get, trying to hook up Mr. Dale and, oh my God, his name just blew my head.
Jeff Harvey.
Yes, Mr. Harvey, thank you. Hooking them up together, because I think together they do some very wonderful things. I really think this is up Mr. Harvey's alley. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
And you know, if I didn't have my own things going on right now, I would actually apply for that apprentice position.
Well, I think you would definitely be definitely qualified to do that. Also, too, let me just remind people to please tune in, and I encourage that you share it on your Facebook website, whatever. Tune in to the show on December 6th, next Monday. A lot of very important information. Meredith, my wife, will be on this show for about a half hour discussing many topics such as urban survival. We're going to be giving a lot of tips. We are going to be talking about a lot of subject matter. And also December 6th is the official launch of universaltruthevolution.com with the Forbidden Vault, the Forbidden Library, and much, much more. It's finally happening.
Yes, it is finally happening, and folks, I almost forgot December 9th of next week. I'll be interviewed on Pig Radio. Don't know really who's going to be interviewing yet, but I know I'm going to be on there 11 p.m., I think, Pacific Standard Time. I'm going to have to make sure. But
you're you're the guest on Jeremiah Duncan's show?
Yeah. See, what happened was last year I came in contact with Mr. Richard Rowell. Rowell?
Oh, yeah. I know Richard.
Yeah. Okay, and we met through Marilyn Delicato's website, the Blue Prophecy, Blue Star Prophecy. Yes. Yeah, and we were discussing in private chat one day about some of my experiences, and he asked if I wouldn't mind doing an interview with him. And I said, sure, you know, that'd be great. And I had a lot of things going on at that time that I couldn't actually commit myself to a date, but we finally managed to get one pinned down. And, yeah, next week, man, next Friday, I do believe.
Wonderful.
Yeah. No, everybody, I'm sorry, on the 9th. It's, the 9th, on Thursday of next week, yes.
Great. Well, be sure you put that up on your Facebook page, Roger, and I encourage everyone to tune into that. So with that, I thank you all for tuning in again. Let your friends know about the show. We'd love to have more listeners. And until then, you all stay safe, and I will talk with you all tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye.